WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this hump day, that's right, it is Wednesday, October 14th, 2015, and we have a loaded show in store for all of you out there listening. Today is a pretty exciting day as we continue Rivalry Week right here on WKAR's Current Sports, and we invite another special guest to talk about what the U of M and Michigan State rivalry means to him. That man will be James Moore, who actually played tailback, or I should say fullback, for the 1988 Rose Bowl champion Michigan State football team. Of course, he played alongside the great Lorenzo White. That was such a storied squad back in the day. James has been on our airways before, and it's always a great time chatting with him. He'll talk about his favorite memories from that rivalry during his playing days. Also, he'll break down whether or not Michigan should be a 6.5-point favorite coming into Saturday's matchup, and what he thinks will be the outcome of that very duel. So you don't want to miss that. And again, we continue to take your calls on today's show and throughout the rest of the week. We want to get your thoughts on what do you think will happen this Saturday. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll also talk about the MLB playoffs. How about the Chicago Cubs, huh? What a moment last night. What a moment last night. We'll expand on that in just a sec. We'll also talk about very disturbing news concerning a former superstar in the NBA and Lamar Odom and so much more, folks. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Wednesday, October 14th. Tickets for the upcoming 2015-16 men's basketball season will go on sale for Michigan State tomorrow. Tickets range in price from $234 for upper bleacher seats to $396 for upper level chair seats. Ticket packages include 16 regular season games plus two exhibition contests. The Spartans enter the new season with high expectations following an appearance in the 2015 Final Four. Michigan State returns three starters from last year's squad led by preseason All-American Denzel Valentine. As a team, Michigan State is ranked number 11 in the CBS Sports Preseason Top 25. Michigan State's annual Midnight Madness event to tip off for the 2015-16 basketball season will be held on Friday, October 23rd. Mark your calendars. Doors to the Breslin Center will open at 8:30 p.m. Admission is totally free. The men's basketball team's trip to the Final Four will be celebrated during the evening. The Spartans will raise the 2015 Final Four banner. How about that? And there will be a Final Four theme promotional giveaway. Lansing United announced today that Nate Miller has been named head coach and general manager of the squad. Miller, who resides in Spring Arbor, Michigan, is currently in his third season as head coach of the Spring Arbor University men's soccer program. He will be the second head coach in Lansing United history. The former Taylor University standout joins a Lansing program that has compiled a 16-7-6 record and a Midwest Region Championship in its first two NPSL seasons. Congrats to Nate Miller and the Lansing United organization for that hire. All right, behind a two-goal performance by freshman forward Ryan Sirakowski, the Michigan State men's soccer team doubled up in in-state rival Western Michigan 2-1 at a cloudy and cool DeMartin Stadium on Tuesday. MSU improves to 6-4-2 on the year, while Western Michigan falls to 6-3-2 overall. Michigan State continues its homestand, returning to Big Ten action against Penn State on Sunday, October 18th at 1 p.m. The game will be broadcast on the Big Ten Network. Sunday, Michigan State will also honor its seniors in a post-game ceremony. The Detroit Red Wings, they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning last night in a rematch of last year's playoff, where the Wings lost in Game 7. The Wings picked up goals from Henrik Zetterberg, Kyle Quincy, and Gus Nyquist. Jimmy Howard led in one goal. The Wings advanced to 3-0-0 on the year and faced the Carolina Hurricanes on Friday.
Activation of the defense in the offensive zone that Jeff Blashill talked about.
That's exactly right. He wants those guys jumping in. That was a good one by Smith.
Larkin in the slot. Scores!
To the Detroit Pistons, reserve Tony Douglas scored 15 points, and Glenn Robinson III had 9 of his 13 in the fourth quarter to lead the Indiana Pacers to a 101-97 exhibition victory over the Pistons on Tuesday night. Andre Drummond had 17 points and 21 rebounds for the D. Reggie Jackson had 17 points and 7 assists, and Ersan Ilyasova added 17 points off the bench. For the first time in 100 years, the Chicago Cubs won the National League Division Series at Wrigley Field. How about that? They beat the St. Louis Cardinals 6-4 using 8 different pitchers.
Cubs 6, Cardinals 4, 2 outs, top of the ninth inning. If you feel like you can't sit still, you are not alone. I wish all of you could be right here at this moment. Unbelievable atmosphere. And the 0-2. Swing and a miss. Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Yeah, how about that? The series is really unbelievable. I mean, the Chicago Cubs, 100 years, that's a long, long time. We'll expound on that in just a sec. Also, the Dodgers forcing a Game 5. The series is headed back to L.A. for Game 5 against the New York Mets. Clayton Kershaw pitched through the eighth inning, allowing one run. Kenley Jansen closed out the win for the Dodgers.
That's in the air to center field. That's Jock Peterson, and that is a 2-2 series. We are heading to Game 5.
Yeah, how about that? And last but not least, folks, sad news concerning former NBA and reality TV star Lamar Odom. He is currently in a Las Vegas hospital after being found unconscious in a legal Nevada brothel last night. The brothel's owner said Odom had been taking a lot of what he described as herbal Viagra. Odom is the ex-husband of Khloe Kardashian and played the best years of his career with the LA Lakers. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, start the show.
Well,
I'm thinking that Michigan State's gonna at least take it by, I'm gonna say
27-17.
I think it's gonna be like a high scoring game. It's gonna surprise people, but I'm gonna pick like 31-17.
Okay, 31-17, Michigan State.
Yep, that's what I'm gonna pick.
I hope to God we win, and I hope it's like 35-28.
35-28.
And now you can't ask me what I really think.
Right.
If you play good enough defense, I think you win 21-20, something like that.
Okay, 21-20. We got you on record, Ray. Always a great call, my man.
Please beat those bullies. Go Spartans.
All right, there we go. The one, the only Ray from Indiana.
So you might as well just come out and say what you're feeling at some point in time, because you know I can only be diplomatic for so long. Okay, the little brother stuff, all the disrespect, didn't have to go in that direction. We've tried to handle ourselves with composure. That doesn't come from the coach. That comes from the program. And, you know, throwing the stake down in our backyard out here and coming out there like they're all that.
What's up, people? Yeah, Yeah, we've had a great time, and it's only Wednesday here on Current Sports. We've had a great time already throughout the week. That was a montage of a few of the calls that we've gotten here on our airwaves from individuals like Ray from Indiana. Gotta love Ray, right? also, Camilla, Mike from Saginaw. I could go on and on and on. You guys have certainly weighed in. And this happens every week. Anytime Michigan and Michigan State, when that week hits on the gridiron, our phone lines just go bonkers. You guys certainly weigh in on it and give your thoughts on what you think is going to happen. And we encourage you to do that today. And again, we still got two more days after Wednesday throughout the week for you to call in and give your thoughts. We're asking for score predictions and anything that's on your sports noggin, okay? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And how can you not love this rivalry, right? I mean, how can you not? I mean, I've been getting calls throughout the week from my cousins and some of my friends that I grew up with back in Detroit. They are also weighing in on what they think or believe what will happen this Saturday afternoon, and also trying to see if they can get tickets from me. No, that won't happen. I can't do that, okay, folks? but so many people, I mean, people that don't even attend or have never attended Michigan State or Michigan, it doesn't matter. If you're a fan of both of these schools, you have a thought or opinion on this game. And you have a bit of a, you know, maybe some hate harbored in your heart for that other school, whatever school you may root for. So it's such an interesting dynamic. The rivalry is certainly real. And again, if you want to call in and give your thoughts, just like our callers have been doing here on our airwaves throughout the week, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And we all remember last year, right? You know, I always think about last year, you know, Coach D'Antonio, as you just heard in that montage as well, him addressing the media after that Michigan State win at Spartan Stadium, as he talked about how Michigan, they drove a stake right into the Spartan Stadium turf and really sparked up a lot of emotion right before that game against the Wolverines last year. And Coach D and the Michigan State football team, they took it as a personal mission of theirs because they look at it as disrespect. I mean, you're driving a stake through our home field, a tent stake through our home field. No, that's not going to go down. So there was some added emotion and some added wood to the fire looking at last year's matchup. But it's so intriguing when watching these two respective squads go at it. And later on in the hour, we will be inviting a friend of WKAR's Current Sports. His name, of course, is James Moore. He was a fullback for the 1988 Rose Bowl football team for the Spartans back in the day. James has an interesting take on the Michigan State and Michigan game that will be taking place this Saturday, 3:30. Of course, WKAR's Current Sports, we will be in the house, Isaac and myself. We will be down at the Big House in Ann Arbor. And Isaac, this will actually be your very first time covering a game at the Big House. You excited?
Ow, I got my press credentials yesterday, as I'm sure you did as well.
Yeah.
And, well, first off, it was just a great day yesterday. Got a good grade on an exam.
Congratulations.
Some good feedback on articles. Some comments saying my hip-hop article in Lansing was very enlightening from fellow artists. So that always feels good. But, no, you know, Spartan Stadium's great. Nothing against Spartan Stadium. It's one of the better ones in America. But the Big House. The Big House might be the best one in America. You can go to Alabama. You can go to Death Valley in LSU. You can go to the Coliseum in USC.
Yeah.
And they won't really challenge you that much that the Big House is maybe the best stadium in America. So I can't wait to be on the field for it, especially for such a rivalry game. So I can't wait. Yeah, this will be a great experience.
Yeah, it should be fun. I mean, this will be my my second game that I've covered as a journalist at the Big House. The first one was actually back in 2012 where Michigan topped Michigan State on a last-minute field goal. One of the craziest in-game experiences I've ever had in my life because I was working for WLNS-TV6 at the time, and right after the game, we have to film our stand-ups on the field so we can put together a story for the 11 o'clock news. And we all know what happened in that game. After, you know, it was a game-winning field goal to put the nail in the coffin for the Wolverines over the Spartans. It was the 100th win in, was it 100th? I think it was the 100th or the 1,000th, one of the two in Michigan stadium history. And the
gotta
crowd.
Gotta be 1,000.
Yeah, it was 1,000. It has to be 1,000. And anyway, the crowd rushes the field. Now, never forget, the crowd rushing the field. Michigan State players getting into it with the Michigan players. There was a bit of a controversy there. You had policemen and security guards on the field trying to break up tough, scuffles that were happening between different players. A lot of trash being talked. And then all of a sudden, my photographer, puts on the red light and I have to put together, my stand-ups. And I'm trying to sit there and concentrate as this rookie reporter looking at the camera as Michigan fans are going insane in the membrane right behind me. They're tugging on me, going nuts, throwing up the number one in the camera. Oh, it was funny, funny stuff. And Fred Heumann, the sports director at Channel 6 at the time, it was so funny that he used both my stand-up with the fans, rubbing and tugging on me all throughout the entire time as I'm trying to deliver this report. My stand-up was like that, as well as Kevin Gill's, who's still at Channel 6 right now. Hilarious stuff, and it was such an unbelievable moment. So that was my very first game covering covering the Michigan State and Michigan rivalry at the Big House, and I'm certain that this weekend will certainly bring about its very own drama. So I'm looking forward to it. Again, we're taking your calls on what you think will happen this Saturday. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got one of our favorite callers on the line as we speak. Apachu, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good so far.
Good stuff. Are you a little bit far. Nervous about what's about to take place this Saturday?
Hey, man, I got the paramedics parked outside in the case.
I'm sure you do. Hey, I'm sure you do.
A couple weeks ago, I said I wanted drama, not horror, man. This is scary.
Right.
But that's the beauty of it, man. This is where it should be.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And all this hate and anger, that's all superficial, baby. You know, this is a game and only a game, and it's and that's what makes it entertaining. Or you can play cupcakes every week, which is not fun.
No.
A couple things I want to talk about.
Yeah,
I want to talk about the significance of the shutouts, and also a comment that you made a couple days ago where you referred to Michigan's quarterback. You referred to him at best. He was average.
Yeah.
I think he's below average, but that's what's phenomenal. What's going on? But anyway, getting to the shutout.
Mm-hmm.
Every year it's like I'm anxious for the season to start. And every single year, the first three or four games of these power conferences and power teams are cupcakes. Yet, how many times do you get shutouts? But here we are with Michigan that has had three shutouts in a row. Not just a shutout, but three shutouts in a row.
Mm-hmm.
BYU hasn't been shut out since, I think, 2003. And BYU is an incredible program.
Very good team.
They beat the snot out of the Pac-12 teams. They're very good. They beat SEC teams. They're a very, very good program. So that was impressive. That's what blew me away. I really thought that Michigan might lose that game in a Hail Mary, like Nebraska, but they came through and just blew me away. Northwestern speaks for itself, man. Northwestern is another good program.
Oh, they are. Yeah, and look at Northwestern. I mean, they beat Stanford earlier on this year. It's a very good program. They also beat a very good Duke team on the road. I mean, Northwestern is a fantastic squad, so it really surprised me.
I think they're going to get Iowa. I think they're going to get Iowa, especially at home, and they got some bruises on them, and they got an attitude. You're talking about chips on your shoulder. They got a chip. And the other one is Maryland. Yeah, Maryland doesn't have an impressive record, and they got some chaos, but they scored 28 points on Ohio State. So,
right.
When you combine all those factors, man, it's very, very impressive. There hasn't been three shutouts in a row for the last 20 years. That's impressive. There hasn't been three in a row for the Big Ten for, I think, the last 30, 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very impressive. So that makes Michigan very exciting for me. Now, are they going to beat MSU? That's a mystery to me, man, but that's the beauty of it, and that's why I'm going to watch it. So I'm really impressed with this defense. I thought Michigan would come in and maybe win hopefully seven games, but I thought they might be good enough because of our ball to pull some upsets. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And of course I wanted Michigan State to get upset and Ohio State to get upset. I thought, that would be their role, and like a border, the spoiler makers, the old border makers, and I was gonna be satisfied with that. But man, you know what? We're on the path to the national championship. Just like Michigan State. So this is really very, very exciting. I think the fact that Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State, and Penn State are all good teams, it just makes this conference so much better and so much fun to watch. You know, anyway, the other comment was you talked about the quarterback being at best average. I think it's a pretty good perception. That's what's impressive. You know, they took this guy who was rejected, told by Iowa, well, you're not going to play. Don't bother to come back. Okay, I don't know how he ended up in Michigan, but they accept him after his rejection. They rehabilitate him, and they start him. And here's a guy who gets love and respect and opportunity, and you can see that he's not gifted. But what he's done after the first game, he makes better decisions. He protects the ball better. He knows when to run. No, he's not fast, but when he does run, he's got a corridor that's a half mile wide. So, and he knows when to run for the most part. You know, he very seldom gets sacked and so forth. So I'm really impressed with his growth, and I think he is getting better.
I do. And I do believe that, Apache. I mean, when looking at, you know, Rudock's numbers
Let me finish, brother, because I want to make a comparison.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So just the last part of this is that, so we had this individual who this quarterback who led his team to a national championship, won a Heisman Trophy, okay, and didn't make it in the pros. That's Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's kind of like a Tim Tebow, believe it or not, except maybe Tim Tebow ran a little bit better than him. Tim Tebow was not a gifted quarterback. He had no touch like this quarterback. Mm-hmm. He overthrew his receivers. But he was surrounded by a couple of incredible individuals who are in the pros now, and they're amazing. One of them's at Minnesota. I think he's a wide out and occasionally a running back. But it just goes to show, if you put the puzzle together right and you work as a team and you create this team chemistry, you know, that you can do pretty good. So I was really pretty impressed with how far they have gone and so forth. Like I said, I'm just totally shocked, and I'm looking forward to this matchup, man. And I feel the respect now, because we've been the laughingstock of the nation for the last 7 or 8 years. You know, I remember they had a sign that says, "Don't fire Rodriguez. We love him." That was the Buckeyes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You
exactly.
Know? And
yeah.
I mean it was pretty pathetic. Kind of like the Lions, it's just not as bad. But anyway, so I'm looking forward to this, bro.
It's gonna be. And before we get you out of here, Apache, again, we want all of our callers to give a score prediction on a game. What do you got, and what's the score going to be?
Well, I'm going to give you a score that I absolutely do not believe, but I might get lucky. You know.
Okay.
Because I mean, there are no. Hey, let's face it, man. At the beginning of the year, you got all that experts. Halfway through the year, you find out there are no experts. And that's the beauty of football, and that's the beauty of gamesmanship and competition. There's so many elements that go into winning and losing, and so that's the beauty of it. But I'm going to give Michigan State 17 points, because you are not going to shut out Michigan State, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'll give Michigan 24 points, and hopefully that's realized. But I got great respect for your program. I think your coach is a street fighter. I like his attitude. He's nasty. He's ready to get enough. but you know what? We got a bad boy over there in Michigan too. So, and there's room for both these teams. And looking forward to State, Miami.
Right.
You know.
Right.
There's plenty of room for all these great teams, and that's what makes it beautiful. So anyway, I'll see you guys on Saturday.
It's gonna be fun. Apache, always a fantastic call. Thanks a lot, brother. All right. So Apache has Michigan 24, Michigan State 17. That is his prediction. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I have to agree with Apache. I think that Jake Rudock has gotten better. But the fact, the matter is, I don't think Jake Rudock, he's not this guy who's going to burn you down the field and really challenge the secondary of whatever opposition he's facing on any given Saturday. And for Michigan State, that's their weakness. That's their big weakness right now on the defensive side of the football, the secondary. We've seen the safeties, we've seen the linebackers, and we've seen the cornerbacks not perform up to expectations of what Michigan State's defense has been the last 3 years. We've seen that occur. We've seen guys get beat. We've seen individuals not been able to tackle in space. We've seen those struggles. And the fact that Jake Rudock has not been able to challenge a defensive secondary so far this season, you got to be smiling if you're Michigan State on the defensive side of the football right now. But we'll see. I mean, and Jake Rudock, I mean, we've seen the turnovers this year. Right now, he's thrown 6 interceptions on the season thus far. His longest throw on the season has only been 44 yards. That's it, folks. So that's also a concern when looking at Michigan, and that's the reason why I say that Michigan's defense is the reason why they are being picked by many national analysts to win against Michigan State this Saturday. Again, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line 2. Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, Mr. Elmine? How you been? What I was going to ask you, since USC, would you agree that some coaches, they just asked to be fired because he has a drinking problem, or do you sympathize with him to try to go get help? What you think? Because if it was one of the athletes, that he wouldn't have had any sympathy for him. What you think?
For me, looking at the situation with Steve Sarkisian and of course, his his drinking problem, I kind of see both sides of the coin here. Of course, I feel bad for the guy. Any person out there who's struggling, with drugs or alcohol, you got to have sympathy for him. And the fact that he's checking himself into rehab and trying to find that help, you got to give him major props. And I wish Steve the best. I wish him the best. And I think that he's a great football coach as well. It's an unfortunate situation that really came to the forefront even earlier than recently. I got to say that, Mike, because we saw, the situation in which he was, a part of a booster event in which he had too much to drink. It was said that he was mixing alcohol with medication, actually, which I don't know. That's troubling in itself. That should have raised a big enough red light to the organization at USC, to the athletic director at USC, to say, okay, there's no way that Steve Sarkisian can coach a football team. No way. So I'm surprised that it just now happened now, and rather than earlier on in the year, before the season started. So that's what really shocked me, Mike.
It really did too, because I mean, if you got signs and people whispering around you and saying this guy is this and that and everything, it seemed like the administration, they're the last one to know about things like that. And, I mean, I know the beat writers, they already know. They're the first ones that find out. But, I mean, sometimes the idea of people in authority that be able to hide their sins from their players and stuff, and when the players get caught out, they want to get mad at the players, too. It's hard for me to comprehend it sometimes. I really don't.
Yeah, and you know what, Mike? I think the guy that you really have to also hold accountable here as well is USC Athletic Director, as I said, Pat Hayden. Pat Hayden should have realized before the year started that there is no way that Steve was healthy enough to coach a football program, and he should have made the decision right then and there and not now. So I also think that Pat Hayden may be a bit on the hot seat right now as we speak as well, Mike.
Okay, then. What I was going to ask, I like to ask me a basketball question since they got college basketball out and about. Do you think by Oakland getting all those transfers, do that help that team chemistry or it's just making it more harder for the coach? When you take a lot of JC players and you get a lot of players transferring from four-year schools, I'm not just talking about Oakland. Also, Eastern Michigan, they do that a lot, too. What's your thinking on that?
Well, I really think that, when you look at Oakland's basketball program, Greg Campy has been doing an outstanding job as the head coach of that program for quite some time. And you can always believe every single year that OU is going to be competitive. Every single year. And I'm trying to think of the one player that we saw because, Lansing always holds a money ball summer league program. Every single year, it's put on by Desmond Ferguson, who's the head coach of the Lansing Everett boys basketball team, and he invites members of the MSU men's basketball program as well as even NBA stars as well to be a part of the program. And there was a kid, Isaac, I don't know if you remember the name, but was a point guard, a small point guard. I mean, he's shorter than me. I'm not that. I'm like 5'10", 5'11" on a good day. This kid had to be about, like 5'7", 5'8".
Khalil Felder.
He's
fantastic. Oh. Also, not just summer league, he's putting up in terms of stats in NCAA D1 as well. Last year, he had 18.1 points per game.
Unbelievable.
And over 4 assists. The guy's a baller. And we saw him on the court because, Al, you and I, we looked at him, we're like, wow, that dude's short. Immediately after we say that, he throws down a windmill off 2 feet.
crazy. I have never seen anything like it. I mean, he's 5'9", 176. He's a junior. He'll be a junior from Detroit, went to Pershing High School.
Right.
And we saw Isaac and I saw him this one play, Mike. I mean, and it counted as a goaltending, if I believe right.
Mm-hmm.
But one player
mm-hmm.
goes up for like a layup or like a mid-range jump shot, and Khalil Felder just goes up and just blocks it like gets the palm on it. His hand reached like the mm-hmm. almost like the top of the square of the backboard. It was absolutely unbelievable. He's got hops
wow.
left and right. But I mean, they always bring in quality guys, and not to mention even, you know, Jalen Hayes, of course, from Lansing Sexton High School. Jalen Hayes had
yep.
an incredible year last year. They always have great talent at OU.
Oh yeah, because I look at their program and stuff. I mean, they got Tommy McCoon who went to Saginaw High too, so they do get some talent there. I mean, it's not like they recruiting all the low end mid major type players. They get some talent. I mean, I
yeah.
give Oakland that.
They do.
UAD got a player named Bass too. They was talking about. He went to a lot of pro camps. You know where the like athletes like LeBron and Skills Academy or whatever.
Mm-hmm, right.
He got this player.
Okay.
He's from Birmingham.
Bass, you said his name is. I'm going to have to look him up. I haven't heard him. You heard him?
Yeah, because he went to a lot of the skills camps and everything.
Right.
I don't know. Probably somebody your callers will probably bring that on, man. But like I said, I'm looking at all these basketball preview books and stuff, and it's just going to be a dynamite season, man. I'm looking forward to it. I know we're in the football in Michigan and Michigan State, man, but I'm just ready for the ballers to get going, man, to be honest with you. Oh, let me ask you this before I let you go. You going to watch the WNBA tonight? This is the final game.
I had no idea. I had no idea. Is this the NBA? This is the WNBA finals we're talking about, Mike?
Yep. I'm talking about Minnesota and Indianapolis Fever, the last game tonight.
How sad is that? I mean, because, you know, I'm sitting there last night watching SportsCenter and watching, you know, Fox Sports 1 as well, and there was no mention of the WNBA finals, at least when I tuned in, at all. I'm looking here on ESPN.com. There's no headline about it at all. I really feel bad for the WNBA, though, Mike, because it does not get really any attention.
I do, too. You know what? They'll probably talk about Lamar Odom more than they'll probably talk
certainly.
About the WNBA.
Yeah, certainly.
Man,
I mean, they'll talk about grass growing more.
I think he's just like Bobby Christina, man. He seems like he ain't going to make it, man.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely I'm crossing my fingers. We'll definitely have you get our take on Lamar Odom in just a sec later on in the show. But, Mike, fantastic call, my man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. You have a good one. Thanks.
All right. Again, folks, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting more about the Michigan and Michigan State rivalry with James Moore, fullback for the 1988 Rose Bowl MSU football team. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I would be remiss if, before I move on here, I did not give mad props to the city of Chicago, the Chicago Cubs, beating the St. Louis Cardinals 6-4 last night. The first postseason win in the Chi in 100 years for the Cubs. How about 100 years? Are you kidding me? I saw many people, because I have a lot of friends who live in Chicago. Two of my really good friends, two of my best friends actually stay out there. My friend Will and Tay, they were just telling me that the atmosphere was absolutely incredible last night at Wrigley Field. Absolutely unbelievable. And there were many people posting on social media, 100 years though, and I see Kevin Lavery behind the glass just shaking his head like, oh my goodness, man. But really a crazy, crazy moment. Crazy, crazy moment. Again, first postseason win at Wrigley Field, 100 years, folks. And, you know, I think right now, and you may call me crazy to make this statement, but I think right now the Chicago Cubs are the favorite to win the World Series. Call me crazy if you want to. Right now they are playing the best baseball out of anyone in the MLB. Unbelievable stuff, folks. 97 wins. After five straight losing seasons, they knock out the two teams that finished ahead of them in the NL Central in Pittsburgh and St. Louis. The Cardinals, have reached the NLCS the last 4 years. So bye-bye to the Cards now. Also, the Cubs have won 12 of their last 13 games, and Chicago batters have hit 10 homers so far in the postseason. Wow. Unbelievable stuff. Congratulations to the Chicago Cubs. Well-deserved for a fan base that has suffered far too long. All right, folks, well, let's get to our guest for today's show. He is a man who is certainly a friend here on WKAR's Current Sports, gracing our airwaves numerous times. And, you know, we had to have him in the house to talk about the big rivalry between the Michigan State Spartans and the Michigan Wolverines, both of them getting it on the gridiron at the Big House this Saturday afternoon. His name is James Moore, fullback for the 1988 Rose Bowl MSU football team. James, thanks so much for being a part of today's show.
Al, appreciate you having me, buddy. It's been too long.
It has been too long. Now, man, I got to talk about, of course, you being an ex-Spartan, you know, a man who has suited up and played in the trenches, on the gridiron, and, of course, partook in the rivalry between the Spartans and Wolverines during your heyday. And looking at Vegas right now, they have Michigan as a 6.5-point favorite. Should Michigan be a favorite looking at this weekend's game, James?
You know what? I mean, Vegas, they put them a 6-point. They're playing better than Michigan State's playing right now. They are, offensively, defensively. But you know what, though? It's Michigan week. Michigan State will show up, and we will win. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The X and the O's, you know, that's where Vegas goes off of. And they are going by, you know, who played, who they played, who we shut out, who they shut out, who we didn't shut out. So, you know, it is what it is, but it doesn't matter when it comes to Michigan and Michigan State. You can both teams can be undefeated or zero or lost all their games, okay? It doesn't matter. It's Michigan week. I'm sitting here with my palms sweating, ready to roll right now.
I'm sure, James. That's what the rivalry entails. And looking at, though, because you got to give a lot of props to Michigan, what they've done so far this year. I mean, back-to-back-to-back week shutouts. That's pretty impressive stuff. Are you shocked at the success of the Maize and Blue program thus far? Did you think that Harbaugh would, quote-unquote, turn around this program, even though it's so early to make that statement? But did you think that Harbaugh would have this kind of a start in his first season, James?
Oh, I'm shocked. Totally shocked. Totally shocked that it's happening. But you know what, though? That's what happens when you're dealing with college kids, okay? It's not that. It's not the NFL. It's not, you know, Pop Warner. It's not high school. It's college. And one man can come in and change the momentum and bring that excitement. And, you know, he's a Michigan guy. So, you know, I'm surprised that it's happening this fast. But I'm not surprised, okay? Because, you know, that's what college athletes can do. They rise to the occasion and rise to it with the coaches, okay? Those coaches are bringing it out of them.
Mm-hmm. Right. They certainly are. And again, Jim Harbaugh, I mean, he's done a fabulous job anywhere he's gone. So it's really not surprising that he is turning around this program. But it is, again, as you stated, James, I'm very shocked that it's happened this quick. And I never thought I didn't think that this Michigan defense would be shutting out teams that are pretty good teams. I mean, BYU and Northwestern, very, very good teams. That defense has really been impressive. And, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, whether or not looking at the Brady Hoke era, when Brady Hoke, you know, when he was let go and he left the program, looking at the remaining players who are on that squad, it makes you really think that maybe a lot of individuals out there jumped the gun, and maybe the cupboard wasn't as bare as many perceived it to be with Harbaugh coming in, right?
Right, exactly, because you know what happened, though? It's not that they jumped the gun. They just weren't playing for those coaches, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. That's the difference. That's what you have to look at. I mean, because some coaches coach one style, and some kids don't adapt to it. These kids are adapting to what Harbaugh is bringing to the table, and
right,
they're playing.
Right. Yep, that's very, very true. And on the flip side of this whole conversation, James, I mean, nationally, on you know, forums like ESPN and Fox Sports, you see a lot of national pundits out there picking Michigan to win and to beat Michigan State. And he even got, you know, a lot of them out there even overlooking Michigan State and even talking about whether or not Michigan can beat Ohio State and can compete for a national championship. Do you think that the maize and blue is getting too much attention? And do you think from a national scheme of things that you can echo those sentiments? And do you think that many people are overlooking Michigan State?
You know what, though? I can't say they're overlooking Michigan State, because right now we have not performed like we were expected to, okay? What they're doing, and Michigan is overachieving what everybody expected them to do. So, of course, they're going to jump on that bandwagon. But let it be known, it will all to be told on Saturday when they hit the gridiron.
That's right. That's why okay. they play the game,
and
right?
That's why they play the game. So, I mean, I'm not shocked that Michigan is getting this much attention, okay? Because it's Michigan. It's U of M. That's how they do, you know? And that's how the media does with what they have accomplished thus far.
Now,
and
James,
then what we have
right.
not accomplished.
Right. Right. That's very, very true. And, you know, James, you hit upon this, you know, when you first came on with us just now, and you talked about how Michigan State hasn't performed up to the level of expectation that many have had for this squad coming in. I mean, at one point they were the number two team, you know, ranked in the AP poll as the number two team in the entire nation. They've had some very close wins that they pulled out nonetheless against, you know, teams like Purdue, Air Force. We all saw, you know, Western Michigan come back and make it a 10-point game late in the fourth quarter. Also the Rutgers game this past weekend. Well, James, we actually had Todd Duckett. Todd, you know, formerly known as TJ Duckett, running back for Michigan State, who went on to have a pretty good career in the NFL. And this is the reason that Todd gave when talking about why Michigan State has not looked, quote-unquote, up to par. Here's what he had to say, James.
I mean, other than the Oregon game, this is the biggest game Michigan State guys had to get up for from a natural emotion rather than trying to work up for Western or work up for Air Force or get motivated to play Rutgers. This is actually a chance for us to do something. Yes, we're banged up. We're struggling. But as a team, we haven't had a purpose to play hard. And now there is a huge reason. Throw all the things out the window. Now you're telling us that this team that has beat up on Michigan the past couple years, that's won the Rose Bowl, that's won the Cotton Bowl, that has developed into a mature team with senior veteran leadership and all the work that they came. You're telling me that these young men aren't the team that we all thought, that aren't Coach D'Antonio's team, and they're going to go into Ann Arbor and lay down. You're going to be in a rude awakening of what the culture of Michigan State has developed over the past 8-9 years.
The reason why you say that is because Michigan State has, in a way, got complacent and hasn't had a reason to really get amped up for a matchup.
I do believe so.
What do you think about those comments, James, from Todd?
It's totally true what he's saying. But I'm going to take another step further. We got a target on us. When we came into this season, we were number two in the nation, okay? Mm-hmm. Then we go and beat Oregon, okay? We have not – I mean, we did it. We took care of Oregon. Everybody's coming after us. We got a target on the front of us and the back of us, okay? If we don't go out and blow teams out, of course they're going to talk. So, like he said, Air Force, Western, Rutgers. I mean, these teams are – they're subpar. All right, now it's Michigan. And you're going to see the Spartans on Saturday mm-hmm. because it's Michigan week. And we're going to rise to our opponent's capability and show them where it's at, what the Spartan dogs can do.
Right. And you know, James, as you just heard from Todd Duckett there, really the big thing that he harped on was Michigan State, you know, not really getting up four games, against a Purdue, you know, which they're expected to win against a Rutgers, in which they're highly favored against an Air Force. Do you think that's why we haven't seen Michigan State stomp on the throats of teams like that? Because they may have came in thinking it was given to them and maybe came in with a bit of complacency. Do you believe that?
And you're always going to have that when you're dealing with college kids, okay? You're always going to have that complacency. You're always going to have that, you know, that cockiness, that you're going to have that. You're going to have to work through it. But the key is, can you come out with a W? That's the bottom line.
Right. Well,
whenever you're dealing with kids, I mean, these are, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, okay?
Right. All right?
They're the number two team in the nation. You're going to have that complacency. You're going to have that, you know, and you get one or two of them doing that, that affects the whole squad.
Right, right. And that's very, very true as well. And for Michigan State side of things, I truly believe, James, that if they play, if this Michigan State football team plays the way they played against Rutgers, the way they played against Purdue, I think they're going to lose if they do play that way. Now, I'm picking Michigan State to win this game because they have been known to get up for big games. Whenever Michigan State has been in a situation in which they have a golden opportunity to make a national statement, I mean, Connor Cook, I mean, how many big games has he played in Floriston, right? Michigan State has won those games, and I think they will get up for Michigan, but I don't think you will see the same Spartan team that we've seen these past few weeks.
No. You will not. That's most definitely. You will not see the same team we've seen the last couple of weeks. That's a guarantee. Okay? I already know. That's a guarantee. You will not see that same team. It's going to be a totally different team when they come out to play Michigan on Saturday. Totally.
James Moore, former MSU tailback for the 1988 Rose Bowl champion football team. James, how concerned are you when it comes to the injuries for Michigan State?
You know what? I've never been a guy to get concerned about injuries because they happen. Every team has them, and the key about them is when they happen, you got to – everybody, whoever's back, the backup, it's time to step up. Like George Perlis said, when your time comes, you better be ready, okay? I'm not going to tell you what he really said. Okay,
but no, we might get fined. We don't want that, James. Right?
Exactly. But he says you just better be. And the young kids usually do step up when it's time for them to step up, and that's what it's all about. I'm not going to put on, you know, us being hurt. It's part of the game.
It is. All right, James. Before we get you out of here, I want you to give us a score prediction. Who do you think is going to win, and by how much? Give us that for us, really quick here.
Michigan State 27. Michigan 14.
27-14, Michigan State. All right. And again, James, you've played in this rivalry during your heydays as a Spartan here in mid-Michigan. What is – well, first off, give me one word to describe this rivalry and why, and give me your favorite memory from this rivalry that you, during your playing days.
Intense. One word. Intense. The second memory is going in there into the big house and beating them and winning the Big Ten championship, 87.
Back in 87. What specifically do you – why does that memory stand out the most for you?
Because everybody was talking about how you can't win in the big house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You can't win in the big house. Yeah, right. Okay. We're going to show you, and we did.
What's it like playing in a big house? Because that stadium is truly unbelievable. I'm not sure, you know, I'm pretty sure it was off the rocker back in the 80s as well. But, again, I got my first opportunity to cover a game there back in 2012, and it is one beautiful venue. And the noise is so crazy there. I mean, what's it like playing – what was it like playing in that game back in the 80s?
It was amazing, man. It was amazing. I was, you know, I was an 18-year-old kid playing in front of 105,000. I mean, it was phenomenal. It was just a feeling that you could never put into words. Okay, you got the adrenaline going and coming out of that tunnel. The biggest thing about it is shutting it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really enjoyed. You hear me? Seeing how quiet it was.
Right.
When we won, you know what I'm saying? Okay, yeah, it gets loud during the game, and you know you got to tune it out and stay focused. But I really liked when we shut them up.
I'm sure you did. I mean, that's something that you'll never forget. Again, there you have it, James Moore, former MSU tailback for the 1988 Rose Bowl champions. James, thanks so much for joining me today. Enjoy Rivalry Week, my man.
Hey, let's give our shout out now to DeWitt 7-0. Now we won our 10th straight title. A straight title now.
How about that? I mean, what you guys and, of course, Rob Zimmerman has done with that program is truly unbelievable. DeWitt, they just keep on trucking, don't they?
They just keep on rolling.
There you go. Congratulations with that, too. Thanks for bringing that up, James.
Thanks, man. Hey, I'll catch you with you soon. It's time to do lunch real soon.
You know it. I'll hit your line up.
Okay, buddy.
All right, James. Gotta love James Moore. He's the best, dude. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this edition of WKAR's Current Sports by chatting about an unfortunate news from a former NBA star, Lamar Odom. Also, Brady Hoke, No surprise, he picks U of M to beat Michigan State this weekend. We'll chat about that as well. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Back to WKR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Former Michigan head coach Brady Hoke likes Michigan's chances in the upcoming rivalry game against Michigan State. Hoke, who now has a twice-weekly gig on Sirius XM College Sports with host Mark Packer, discussed Saturday's game while responding to a caller on the show Tuesday afternoon. Hoke went on to say, quote, Michigan State, they're coming in this game limping a bit from an injury standpoint, but I did like in just evaluating how quarterback Connor Cook played last week at Rutgers. He threw for 357 yards. I think matching their receivers will be the first test for Michigan's defensive backs. Now that Michigan's pass rush and the way the front four is playing in the front seven, they're playing awfully hard. I think this is going to be a great game. I think Michigan is going to win the game, but I also think this is exactly what Mark D'Antonio and Michigan State like. They feed off everyone talking about Michigan, and that's just the way their matchup is. I have to agree with Hoke, not from the standpoint of picking Michigan to win the game, but from the standpoint of Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans liking the attention that is surrounded around Michigan, liking how Vegas and many national pundits out there are picking Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines to beat the Spartans this Saturday. I agree with him because Mark D'Antonio, he thrives off of having that chip on the shoulder of him, his coaching staff, and his players. He loves it. He loves it when you doubt the Spartans, and they use it as bulletin board material. They use it as motivation to go out there and prove people wrong. And that's the reason why I'm picking, one of the reasons why I'm picking Michigan State to win this Saturday's game. They love this kind of stuff, Isaac.
Well, earlier in the year, I referred to Michigan State's problems as a matter of hubris, if you remember. Excessive pride, being too confident, too cocky, going into the games. I think it's great that Michigan is favored for the Spartans because this gives them the chance to come up how they came up with the blue collar, blue chip mentality that has been with them for really the entirety of Mark D'Antonio's tenure with the Spartans and before that. And now that they're finally favored, like I said, I think it got to the head of the Spartans a little bit. So, no, now that they've got that 6.5-point deficit in the line, I think it's good for Michigan State, actually.
Yeah, I agree. And how in the world did Brady Hoke get a radio show?
I know.
That's so random, isn't it?
It must have been a Michigan State fan that owned the radio show, because I'm not sure what Brady Hoke's standing is within the U of M community anymore. I don't think it's too high.
No, I don't. Especially looking at how he got ran out of the program last year and how they're – success just dwindled throughout his tenure as the head coach. But, yeah, that's weird stuff. All right, and I want to end today's show by talking about some unfortunate news concerning a former NBA superstar in the league. Former NBA star Lamar Odom was hospitalized Tuesday after he was found unconscious at a Nevada brothel. A source told ESPN that Odom is fighting for his life and that, quote, the next 48 hours are critical. The New York County Sheriff's Department will hold a press conference at 7 p.m. today to provide an update on the situation. Sheriff Sharon A. Worley said in a statement Tuesday that authorities were called at about 3:15 p.m. to Love Ranch in Crystal, Nevada, about 70 miles outside of Las Vegas, for a report of an unresponsive man needing an ambulance. Odom was stabilized and taken to Desert View Hospital in nearby Pahrump. The statement said, now, officials then tried to have him airlifted to Las Vegas, but the 6'10" Odom was too tall for the helicopter, so he was driven by ambulance to Sunrise Hospital and Medical Center. Lakers star Kobe Bryant, who exited Tuesday's exhibition game, also in Las Vegas, with a lower leg contusion, he visited the hospital. Also, Lamar Odom's ex-wife, Khloe Kardashian, she is said to had visited the hospital and still be there as we speak. Dennis Hoff, who owns Love Ranch and other legal brothels in Nevada, and his staff picked up Odom from a home in Las Vegas, on Saturday. Quote, he just wanted to get away, have a good time, and relax. That's what Hoff told the Associated Press in a phone interview. Hoff said Odom was happy. He was sleeping every night while visiting, but the two women went to check on Odom on Tuesday afternoon. After not hearing from him since early morning, they found him face down and unconscious. When they turned him on his side at the direction of a 911 operator, Odom started throwing up. Sad stuff here, man. You know, Isaac, because Lamar Odom has had a troubled history, especially as of recently when talking about his situation with the divorce from Khloe Kardashian. I can only imagine how going through a divorce is. And even looking at his childhood, he lost his mother to colon cancer at the age of 12. His father is a recovering heroin addict. He lost his six-month-old child in 2006. He has been battling depression. We all know about, you know, his troubles with drugs and cocaine use. And now this. I feel bad for the guy, and I am sending up prayers. I sent up one last night when you see so much crap on social media. When I first saw the story, Isaac, I had to do some fact checking because I wasn't sure if it was true or not. And then I saw TMZ Sports. They were the first to report that this had went down, and my heart immediately sunk. I'm rooting for him, but gosh, does this look bad or what, man?
Yeah, it certainly does. And like you said, Lamar Odom has had quite the troubled, tough past that you wouldn't wish upon anybody. And it's a shame because he was one of the most talented players in the NBA for a long period of time. I'm just talking about his versatility. He was a Boris Diaw that was athletic, and that's about as much as you can ask for a player. So he certainly gave me some good memories when he was playing, and I hate hearing news like this. Just like you, I'll be praying and hoping for his recovery.
Yes, I'm sure we all will. I'm sure we all will. Also, I want to close out our show by also talking about Clayton Kershaw, who was absolutely insane in the membrane yesterday. Kershaw, I think Kershaw has been the best pitcher in baseball the last 10 years. I challenge you to post me up on that one, and we can discuss that. But Clayton Kershaw has certainly been unbelievable. He allowed one run and three hits in 70 innings in the Dodgers' win over the New York Mets in Game 4 of the National League Division Series. Over the past three seasons, Kershaw had 43 regular season starts in which he allowed one run or fewer and pitched 7 innings or more. The next most in the majors is 35 by Felix Hernandez. No one else has more than 30. Clayton Kershaw, wow, amazing last night. And now we move to a Game 5. I love the baseball players. I don't know if you've caught any games, Isaac, but they have been unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, folks, we have to bid you adieu. Thanks so much to James Moore for joining me on today's show and to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic day and be easy, people.